How well do you know your customers? And I'm not talking just their demographics or their buying preferences. I'm talking about their lifestyle, their desires, and why they make the choices that they make. Our guest today is Monica Sharma Pettenecker from Business with Monica, and she is walking us through her three-part framework for getting to know our customers better so that e-commerce brands can build stronger connections and sell more of our products. Monica is an e-commerce brand mentor and consultant, a purpose-driven brand marketing and strategy professional with 17 years of global experience building brands. She's worked across different sectors and companies from Fortune 500 to starting and scaling companies as well. Monica offers high-touch coaching and mentorship to small businesses, conscious e-commerce, and product-based business owners. She is Dutch by birth and Indian by heritage, global by choice and education. She's a creative thinker, a dancer, a chai fanatic, and a mom of two girls. I know you are going to learn a lot today from Monica. Before we dive in, today's episode is brought to you by our Is Wholesale Right For You private podcast. Yep, if you want me in your earbuds longer, you can have me. You can get access to this free on-demand private podcast by going to proof2product.com/private pod. That's P-O-D at the end. This is a 12-part audio series that will help you decide whether wholesale is a good next step for your business. And the best part, you can binge it in less than an hour. After listening to the Is Wholesale Right For You audio series, two things will be true. One, you'll know whether you want to pursue wholesale for your product business. And two, you'll have the confidence and action steps to get started with wholesale. Sign up for the Is Wholesale Right For You private podcast at proof2product.com/private pod. That's proof2product.com/private pod. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started. Hey, Monica, welcome to Proof to Product.
Hi, Katie. Thanks for having me on.
I'm really excited to chat with you today. I've been following you on social media for a while, and I just love the messaging that you talk about. You focus on marketing, messaging, knowing your ideal customer, who these people are. So I would love to just jump into it if you're okay with it. You have a process that you teach of how to get to know your customers better. Can you tell us about this?
Yeah, it's all about who are my real customers and what are their really core desires. So I really want to emphasize the real aspect because I think we're so busy with these ideals. And I always say ideal is something that's in your imagination. It's not the actual person you're speaking to. So I want you
Yes. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm so glad you said that because there's so many different people out there teaching this ideal client avatar. And I actually turned to my program director the other day and I was like, I don't want to teach this and I don't teach it, but we were talking about pieces that we might need in our programming. And I'm like, I think it's important people understand who their customer is, but the word ideal does not sit well with me. And so to hear you say this, it's so validating. Continue.
All you have to do is looking it up in a dictionary and it tells you it's something from your imagination. It doesn't exist. And everybody's drawing out these fictitious personas on paper. And I asked them, I know my customer, but how? Well, I wrote it down, but did you actually speak to them? No.
Yes.
So that's my process, which I'm really all about building a strong brand, but it has to start from knowing who your real customer is and what are their core desires. And that's a process I can take you through. So
yes, I would love to hear more.
So first of all, real over ideal, like I said, really define that niche. And when I say niche, there are like a couple of levels. So there's one, obviously your customer segment. Within that, who's that one real person you're speaking to? And most people seem to end there, where I say you need to go to the next level, which is the core customer insight, those desires, those needs, wants, and desires. what do they really want? What are they looking for in their life? What's going on? It's not necessarily the solution that you're offering yet with your products, but it's really what do they want? What's going on in their life? What's working? What's not? What's making them happy? And then you can, as a next step, you'll be able to see how your products fit in there. And that's the level we need to go to on that emotional level. And that's where a lot of people miss a lot. So that's the step you want to reach to. Now, how do we get there? That's obviously the more important part. So there are two strategies I kind of use here, two steps to it. So one, I have my desires over demographics framework, which is your, like, say, the four D's, there are four types of questions you need to ask your customer. It kind of really will help you get to know them on different levels. D1, demographics. Yes, not the most important, but you know, it's great for things like targeting and having a general overview who you're speaking to, what life stage they're at, and things like that. And by the way, this also works for wholesale. I just want to add that. But then you would look at business life stage, for example, of the clients that you're attracting. Second D, desires. This is the one most people avoid. This is where you're looking at your customer. Okay, so what's really going on in their life? Either what makes them happy? What are their struggles? You know, what can help them have more of those kind of happier moments or take away those struggles? Well, what's really going on in their life? And what are those key moments that are important to them? Mm-hmm. Then we go into the final, next D, which is do. So how are they behaving? What are they doing within your category? So here we're starting to zoom in within your product category. Where are they, not only where are they buying from or how they found you, but what are their triggers and barriers while they're purchasing? What stops them? What ensures that others are going on with that purchase? And the last one is delight. So what really makes them happy with that whole experience, whether they're buying from you, from competitors, what really makes them happy in that whole experience? So these are kind of the four D's that I say you need to cover to really get to know who they are, and but in different ways. So not just in your products, but also in general in their life, what's going on.
I love this deep dive. It's so clear how you're looking at the customer as a whole in terms of whether it's a person on the direct-to-consumer side, whether it's a business on the wholesale side. It's taking a holistic look at what their needs are and how you can better serve them either through your products, through your customer service, through the journey that you take them on as they get to know your brand. You mentioned that the desires piece, the second one. So just to recap for our listeners, it was demographics, desires, do, and delight. And you mentioned with desires that that is a section that people avoid. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Why do you think brands avoid looking at the desires of their customers?
I think there are two reasons that I've experienced when working with my clients. And one, I think people just don't realize why that's important. It's as simple as that. They just don't realize it. Nobody's ever told them. A lot of people who are working in these businesses, that you may not have had a marketing background. You may not have, you're coming from different sectors. You've been taught to start your store and just go and find out, go start those ads or get people in through organic traffic and just tell them what's so great about your product. But but at the end, I always say you're selling so much more than a product. It's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. It's an experience. People buy because of how it makes them feel. And therefore, you need to figure out how it fits into their life. So that's one. The other one is when I actually talk about it, I notice is people are scared to get personal. There's a fear because these are the personal questions. This is really asking about somebody, what's going on in their life, literally, and what makes them happy? What are the problems they've been facing? And people, but how can I actually ask that? And I'm like, yes, yes, you can. It's about how you ask it, but you're not going to ask them like, hey, what's the problems in your life? Of course, but it's really about showing you care. And I've noticed actually when you do this, people actually go like, this person really cares about me. This is a business owner who's actually asking me about what's going on and really trying to get to know me. And I've actually had people say, well, there's so many large businesses out there that don't even do this. They don't care. Yeah. I'm just like another number for them. So there is this fear, which I understand, but which will only go away if you try it and practice it.
Totally. Okay. So, you've laid out these details that we need to kind of think about for our clients and customers. You mentioned that sometimes it's difficult to ask these questions. How are you suggesting people gather this data? Do you think that surveys or casual, you know, polls on Instagram stories, like what kind of tactics are you suggesting people use to gather this kind of information?
So it should always be a combination. Obviously, you've had conversations with customers, so you can think back to that, your email conversations, you can send out questions and emails and surveys, Instagram polls, go through other blogs and content and website. A real secret weapon, I would say, is testimonials, not just yours, but others, and also the negative reviews, because it will tell you what's missing. And you'll be surprised how much if you go through testimonials, you'll also find lifestyle information. People will say, well, I bought this for my grandchild, for example. So don't just look at the product, how they're talking about your product. So that's one side in which I call is like the more desk research. But what I actually say, which is non-negotiable, one-on-one customer interviews, customer conversations. You have to do those. Because what happens is with all of this research or even surveys, you can't dig further. You can't ask them, what do they really mean with something? And that's only possible through the one-on-one conversations. And the amount of great nuggets it gives you to even just implement into your marketing in terms of messaging is just, it's amazing.
I agree with you. I love talking with even my clients one-on-one to hear what's working for them, what's not working for them, and how we can do a better job of meeting them where they are. You know, on the product facing side though, let's look at direct to consumer for a minute, because this is where I think this is incredibly powerful, because the sales process is incredibly emotional. And it's, you know, on the wholesale side, the buying decision is much more tactical, logistical. It's a business to business relationship. They're thinking about things like profit margins and shelf on their space, but your direct to consumer audience, they're thinking about, how am I going to use this product? How am I going to gift this product? How is it making me feel? How will it make my home feel more comfortable? So again, that emotional side of things. So speaking to the direct to consumer side of things, how do you suggest one goes about asking these customers to have a one-on-one conversation? I mean, everyone is busy.
Yeah.
How do you incentivize these customers to take the time to sit down with you? Or what is your strategy there?
I'll just tell you that. Can I just say something about the wholesale side?
Of course. B2B? Yes, yes.
Because I've also worked with clients who do that. And I also had like a wholesale baker here locally in the Netherlands that I was helping. And but at the end, those clients are also creating experiences for their customers.
True. So
yes, profit margin is an even more important role in their decision-making process, obviously. But don't forget that they're also trying to create an experience for their end customer. So there is an emotional side too as well. And if you can position yourself just that little differently, it would also really be beneficial there. So that's
You're absolutely right, Monica. And I didn't mean to dismiss the human side of the wholesale relationship, because it is incredibly important. But I think from my perspective, as I'm listening to you, I'm like, oh, I could see it being much easier to get a shop owner because of the relationship and the recurring relationship that you have with your wholesale accounts. It seems easier to me to get them to hop on a phone call or a Zoom meeting or something to get their feedback. Whereas a direct-to-consumer customer, they may buy from you one time. I mean, obviously, you'd probably want to look at your data points and see who's a repeat customer and who's really engaging with your brand, because those people are going to be more likely to say yes to you. Is that kind of one of the strategies you recommend?
Yeah. So I always say first of all, you want to do a combination of people. People who've been your regular loyal customers who bought for you more often. You have the people who maybe just bought once and didn't buy again. And then you'll have people who've been engaging with you but not buying. So you'd like the attempt would be to try and get people across those, because that will give you so much more information. You know, what's really getting one to buy and the others not, for example. How would you do this? Well, it's really simple. It's, again, just being human and approaching them. We shouldn't overcomplicate these things. So I always say nothing beats in personal email, for example, or if you've been seeing somebody following you on social media a lot but not buying or anything, you can DM them. But start with your email list. It's always one of the easiest, obviously, to go, because those people are already on your list and you can send them personal emails through your email just directly, so that it doesn't look like it's coming from email service provider. But also you can also do larger blasts to, you know, certain segments within your email list, and just write a really honest email and say that you're trying to improve your business, literally. But part of that is being able to serve them better. And to be able to serve them better, they'd like their feedback. So would you be interested to get on a call? Make sure it sounds like you, and just be really honest why you'd like to do that.
Yeah.
And I always say you don't have to do that as an incentive, but it's always nice to just offer them something as a thank you, more as a thank you. I say as a group to be grateful for their time. You can be a voucher to something in your business, a free sample that you want to give them, whatever works is easiest. Vouchers, of course, the easiest because you don't have to send anything, but just more as, you know, thank you for your time at the end. And I notice that a lot of people don't do it just for that. They do it anyways. Most people feedback has been, you know, you actually care that you asked me. I've had clients come back. I've had one client who was my biggest one who fought me on this the most. And she came back and said, all of the ones I interviewed became some of my loyal customers because they really said, you care. So I understand it's scary, but I just hope some of these examples make it a little easier to just approach them and just start with a few, just even to open the doors.
I like that you talk about keeping it simple and starting small, because I think as I'm listening to you, my brain started firing questions of like, honestly, it was like, okay, how often should I be doing this? Should I set up a Calendly link? You know, like, how do you make it simple, but also repeatable and easy for you and for any customers? So I like what you're saying about even just sending a simple email of, hey, we're trying to improve our business and we'd love to talk to you one-on-one if you're open to it. And I like that you said, just start with a handful of people. This doesn't have to be a huge campaign where you're contacting every single person that has ever ordered from you. What are your thoughts on doing this? Like the timing of doing this? How often do you recommend people do this? Is it something they should be doing all the time, or could it be like a seasonal thing?
Well, it should definitely be an ongoing process in your business. Now, whether you are somebody who says, hey, I'd love to do one once a week, or let me try and do two every month, as long as you make sure that getting to know your customer is built into your business in some way. And if you haven't done it for a while, take up maybe a few weeks, start with a few that you can do, 5, 6, just to get you going, and then see, okay, how can I build this into my business? Every time, you know, every time somebody buys, you say, okay, we randomly pick one and let's do an interview. That way, as long as you stay on top of it, it will make it so much easier for you to make decisions in your business going forward. Markets are constantly changing, algorithms are changing, everybody starts freaking out. But no, if you know your customer, you'll be in a position to make any changes or pivots, or maybe you don't even need to, but make those decisions based off that. So build it into your business as a regular system. But again, you don't think you have to do 10 a month, even just one a week. Just think of that. Imagine that, one a week or two a month. What would that mean? How many people you've already spoken to in a while?
I love that. I know you, as part of this process, you talk about stories over interviews. Can you dig into that a little bit more for me?
Yeah. So, I mean, we use stories in marketing, right? I mean, I think people have talked about that enough, but we know stories are memorable. They're unique to every situation. We remember stories more than facts, and they're emotional. They bring out the emotional side in things. So that's, we use it in marketing. So why not in your questions? Imagine, for your customers, their stories they're going to tell you are going to be unique to them and are going to be the things that they remember. So instead of just asking, what we normally do is like, why did you buy this? We tend to, you know, people buy on feelings, but then we explain things. We rationalize and we give logic. Like, I bought that bag. Well, oh, guess what? It was handmade. That's why it was so much. Or just look at the quality. But I probably just really wanted it. And that's why I bought it. And you want to figure out what was that? What was that I really wanted it feeling? And that's where stories are so important. So you ask people stories instead of the standard why questions. Ask them, invite them to tell them what they thought of and what they remembered. So, for example, really concretely, I'm going to ask, if I ask you about your holidays, the last two weeks of December. Okay. What did you do over your holidays, Katie?
I spent a lot of time with my kids and my family, and we did a lot of activities. So we were not home very much. We were out sand sledding, and we live in Southern California.
Oh, that sounds fun.
We're not at the snow, but we go sledding in the sand. Yeah. And we went and looked at Christmas lights. We went out for hot chocolate. Like, we did activities like that.
Yeah. And but if you tell me about a little story or moment that you really remember from those 2 weeks, what would that be?
I'd be laying on the couch with my kids watching a movie. Just because we're all never home at the same time, and it felt really just cozy, special, calm, you know?
So how did that feel? Just thinking back to that story?
It made me warm and fuzzy inside. It made me go, oh, that was really nice. We need to plan another movie night that's just chill with nobody running to sports and things. So, yeah.
Did you realize the difference in the answers you gave me?
Oh, yeah.
From process, we did X, Y, Z. Now, everybody would have thought, oh, so Christmas was all about going out for you. But actually, the most important moment for you was that couch, was sitting, doing nothing with them. And you said it made you warm and fuzzy. Now, again, think about all the messaging and content you can do around this already.
Yeah.
So obviously, you would dig further. I always say start with stories. Then we go into a bit more why probing questions. And then you can always go in with more closed questions. We would ask more, you know, you can ask who else was around with you, what happened before or later. And same with the products. But you can already see the impact of asking that question in such a different way. And asking about what happened in the past versus always asking somebody to predict the future and what they're going to do.
That's a really good point, because we all have a history to share. We all have different stories from our past to share, good, bad, maybe not so great. But like, my point is just all of those experiences, the lived experiences, shape our buying decisions. They shape how we're interacting with different brands. They shape how we choose to spend our money. All of these things. This is really intriguing to me. So I appreciate you running through us through these exercises and sharing these different things with us. You know, as someone who has worked with a lot of product-based business owners to help them hone in on their messaging, their brand, figuring out who their customers are, what do you think are the biggest hurdles that they have to overcome? You know, like, some of this stuff seems like it's very natural for some people, and some of it might be very difficult for some people. So what are some of the hurdles that you experience? I mean, I know we talked about asking some of the questions may be difficult for others, but what other types of hurdles have you seen?
Well, one of the most common, I think, is what I see is that, at least till now, I think things are starting to change in the market again, and I'm really happy about that. But it's this idea of just setting up your store, going out to get get traffic to your website, which is all really important to run ads and content, doing all of those things and kind of wanting to see that quick ROI has been. Yeah. But that mindset shift is, if you don't know who you're speaking to, if you don't know what you stand for as a brand, how are you going to attract those people to your store and get them to buy again from you? Because no matter where you put content out, whether it's through ads or social media or your emails, or even if you're speaking to somebody one-on-one, you have to know what you stand for and why it's for them. Why should I buy from you? Tell me that. Are you able to explain me that? And this is this is a step that most people I see completely skip in their business. And they feel that somehow the answers will come, more content they put out, the more ads, the answers will come through by just testing different lines. But it's a very expensive way and time consuming way to test it out.
Yes, it is.
So taking that slightly step back, going back to your foundations, doing those things that, will not give that really quick ROI yet, but it's so like the North Star of your business and everything you do going forward.
I love that. I mean, as you've seen a lot of different trends in this industry of how people are marketing themselves and speaking about their brands and their products. What do you kind of see in the next year, in the next couple of years? What do you see people doing more of, or what should they be doing more of, maybe to benefit their business, is more of a question.
Really know why you're doing what you're doing. What's that purpose behind your business? Who's your customer? What does your brand really stand for? What's the key benefits that you're really giving them? And then how does that translate into the products that you're offering and your growth strategies and plans that you make?
Yeah.
And I've already been seeing this change slightly happening, because now all the other experts are talking about it because of the rising acquisition costs, changing algorithms, people watching their expenses more, talks of, you know, with the inflations and stocks of recession, and more experts across different aspects of this business are talking about it, and I'm seeing this shift happen. So I just want to start seeing business owners pick this up as well. That's a big thing for me.
I love that you shared this, because I've been thinking a lot about this whole concept of there's things we control and there's things that we don't control, right? And we can do these exercises that you're talking about. We can get to know our customers. We can stand tall in the values of our business. We can create quality products. We can market ourselves with transparency and authenticity and, you know, talk about the value and benefits and solutions and problems that our product solves. We can control all of that. We cannot control, like you said, the social media algorithms. We cannot control the results of paid advertising. We cannot control what's happening with the supply chain. We cannot control what's happening on a larger scale with the economy. And so I like what you're saying about let's get back to basics and focus on the things that we can control. And we obviously have to work within these systems that we cannot control to some degree. But when we have those core foundational pieces very strong, it makes us more adaptable for dealing with the things that are outside of our control. Yes. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it any better. And going back to treating your customers not just as that number on the traffic that we need and to get X that conversion, but as real humans, just imagine how would you treat them? What conversation would you have with them if they were walking into a physical store and you were standing there? And what are the few things you can do to be able to replicate that into an online environment?
Yes.
Don't just treat people as humans. That's what they want. And that's what people want. And people are more likely to buy from somebody they're going to know, they like, they trust. They want to know the story behind your business. They want to know who they're really buying for. If they don't, they'll be buying all from Amazon. So they want to buy. More and more people want to buy from people with a strong purpose and a strong story and really feeling like, yeah, this is me too. So don't be afraid to share that.
As I'm listening to you, something that came to mind is, I think a lot of small businesses are afraid to showcase that they're more in that startup phase, that they are. When I say small, I mean from a logistics and a people and all that component. I know there's some talk on the internet of like, we got to stop saying we're small businesses. But the reality is many of our listeners are one or two person businesses working out of their homes or a small studio. We're small. We're not compared to an Amazon or a larger business that might have a warehouse and things like that. So, but what I will say is I think there's a lot of fear when you're just starting out and you're smaller to talk about these things because there's a lot of people that want to kind of make themselves seem larger so that they will be taken more seriously. And I think this is more of a mindset thing that we need to work on rather than a reality that we need to problem solve. But I think there's beauty in being small because we can do the things that you're talking about of connecting with our customers and everything like that. Whereas, you know, people at Amazon are not necessarily contacting their customers in all the different ways that we're talking about here. And even some of the more mid-sized brands are not able to do what we're talking about here. There's a real benefit to being at this phase of business where you can have these conversations in a more fluid way. So I don't know. It just struck me that, you know, I remember feeling this way too. When I started my product-based business in 2008, I would use language like we do this and we do that. And, you know, trying to make myself sound more legitimate, bigger, you know, not just working from my kitchen counter.
But I think that whole trust aspect again, because if you make your sound bigger, then you're going to have to implement things in your business to be able to deliver on that as well. Whereas if I'm saying I'm just a one person business behind this, I will as a customer treat it differently as well and what my expectations are. Otherwise, I'm expecting a whole customer service team to be sitting there, which you probably don't have. So you're also making it more difficult for yourself. So bring back the personal, bring it as on the basis of the stage of business you're at, bring that back and be authentic. And people are more likely to say, also research, by the way, to back this up if you don't believe me, but people are more likely to even forgive your mistakes and support you through harder times. If you know, you have that strong purpose and they believe you're being authentic and they really know who you are.
Oh, Monica, I have loved this conversation. You're just so thoughtful and strategic in the way you're talking about this. And so I want to thank you for coming on the show today. Can you tell everyone where they can learn more about the services that you provide and how they can follow you on social media or your website?
So first of all, there's a handy link with the 4 Ds, the downloads and the checklist that goes with it. So in case you missed it, it's right there for you.
Perfect. We'll put it in the show notes.
Follow me on in my email, but I'm on really active on Instagram, Business with Monica, and you'll also find me on LinkedIn. And in terms of working with me, I do private brand mentorships where I work with people one-on-one for 12 weeks on the core foundations or 12 months, including the ongoing support with all the information is on my websites.
Fantastic. We will include all those links in the show notes so everybody can grab them there. Monica, I really enjoyed this conversation. It was thought-provoking. It was strategic. It was tactical. I took notes myself. So thank you for taking the time to share with us today and for coming on the show.
I loved it. Thank you for allowing me to talk about this as well. Really enjoyed it.
Of course. Okay, friends, let's recap Monica's three-part framework for understanding your customers. I love that this is a rinse and repeat process that we can continue to use. So the first one is real over ideal. She wants you to define your niche and know who your one real customer is. This is not an ideal customer avatar exercise. We really want to get to know who these people are. The second piece is knowing their desires over demographics. This is where the four D's came into play: demographics, desires, do, and delight. The third part of her framework is stories over interviews. So we're going to dig into how your customers are really feeling using the art of story probing, which she did that exercise with me. So I appreciated how she broke this down into simple strategies and tactics that you can use now in your business. You can find all of Monica's links in our show notes and be sure to grab her worksheet that goes through those four D's in more detail. If you found today's episode helpful, please do share it with a friend and leave us a 5-star rating and write a review. Your ratings and reviews help us bring you high quality free content each and every week. And if you're interested in learning more about whether wholesale is a good next step for your business, be sure to sign up for my Is Wholesale Right For You private podcast. You can get access to this free on-demand audio series by going to proveToProduct.com/privatepod. That's proveToProduct.com/privatepod. All right, friends, thanks for listening until the end. I'll be back with a new episode next week.